When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, this one is just for you, Cappy, because guess what? Breezy, aka Breeze Airways, just launched the longest flight in its network today. Uh-oh. From Rhode Island Green International Airport to LAX. That's right. They're going to have a nonstop flight all the way from Rhode Island to LA. The carrier is deploying its Airbus 220s to 300s on the route, and two feature all new ViaSat Wi-Fi. I've never even heard of that company.
Yeah, ViaSat is who provides all the Wi-Fi on a bunch of these planes.
ViaSat or ViaSat?
ViaSat, maybe.
Or ViaSat, whatever.
Whatever it is, Cappy.
Yeah, them. They're on a bunch of Delta flights now and a bunch of American Airlines. They're like the competitor to Gogo now.
Well, as a promotional offer, Breeze fares for the new inaugural flights start $79, but you have to buy your tickets before May 26th. So, Cappy, if you want to go to that other side of the country for cheap and then maybe try and get one of your private planes, you know, somewhere close.
You ever been to Rhode Island, Cappy?
I don't think I've ever been to Rhode Island. Maine, Vermont, but not really Rhode Island.
Would you take a $79 Breezy flight there just for fun?
I don't know. How long would it take me to get from Rhode Island to New York?
Probably a while. Wait, doesn't Justin go to, what is it, near Wheeling, right?
Yeah, Wheeling, West Virginia.
I feel like that can't be too far from there, right?
That's probably 400 or 500 miles.
I lump all those very small states together, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think West Virginia and Rhode Island are next door neighbors.
I'm thinking of regular Virginia, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that's what you need to know. Breezy, it's got a lot of new flights.
But let me tell you something about what happens. You guys ever get emails, and like, for example, this morning, I got an email from Alaska Airlines. I happen to really, really like Alaska Airlines. They tell me, hey, we got these crazy new fares to Hawaii and to Mexico starting at like $100, right? So I'm like, oh, wow, $100, that's great. So then I go in, I put in my dates, I put in where I want to go. It's $400.
Yep. Yes.
What happened?
All the time.
Well, just like this little disclaimer says on this ad, for this promotion, flights must be purchased by May 26th and travel dates must be between May 31st and November 14th. This also excludes travel from June 28th to July 10th and September.
Yeah.
Basically, it needs to be a full moon on the third Sunday of the year. On the 13th, Friday the 13th, all kinds of stuff needs to happen for you to actually get the fare.
And don't wear green underwear on that day.
Yep.
Seriously. Yep.
I don't have any green underwear.
Oh, God.
Like some, though.
All right. That is too much information.
Well, you know, I mean, white ones are not good for me.
Yes, we know that.
So I usually wear black.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Did you ever get George his purple ones for his purple suit?
I did not.
You did not.
I did not get George's purple panties.
Underpants.
They're not panties when they're for men.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah. Men don't wear panties, Cap.
I mean, Cap might. I don't know.
I mean, they can, but I feel like just generally speaking, that's a term for females.
I understand. I do. All right, Georgie, what are we going to do about this Laker team? What are we going to do? What are we going to do about game two?
Everything's going to be fine. Well, I don't know about that, but I do think that they need to win game two. Game two, if you're the Lakers, to me, is the series in a lot of ways. Now, obviously, it's not the series because they have, you know, they can still lose one more game after that. But if you're going to win, if you're going to lose game two, that means you're going to have to beat them 4 out of 5, which I don't see happening. So game two is as close to a must win as must wins get, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I think if the Lakers come back 1-1, I think everybody's going to feel really good about what they did. Yes, they would have liked to have won game one. They won game one in both previous series. They actually got the game to 3 points last night with 2 minutes and 18 seconds to go. And there might even be a part of the Lakers that look at last night and think, we actually let one slip away. We could have won that game. You know, LeBron takes some really, and look, it's kind of like with the Warriors. You let Klay shoot. You let Steph shoot. Anybody supporting or watching or following or criticizing or whatever, you got to live with LeBron making them or missing them. That's the go-to guy. And in crunch time, if he misses them, well, I know we can all sit there and complain about it on Twitter. What are you taking these shots for, bro? But we got to ride and live and die with LeBron.
I think two things can be true at once. I don't know if you've heard that before, but
okay, tell me more.
I think LeBron was incredible in that game, particularly in the second half. I also think that he pulled a YOLO there, and that was not the shot that I would have taken. But I think, to your point, I do understand he's probably gassed at that point. So it's like, let me just try to end this here.
Well,
had he made it, everyone would be like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Right, but the reality is this. More times than not, I will trust LeBron James in those situations.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that was one of those situations where I was like, when it happened in real time, I was like,
Well, because he had been passing the ball, in particular to Austin Reeves, who had knocked down a couple of big threes. You know, LeBron, you feel like has an understanding of who's doing what, when in a game. And if he knows that he's not really hitting shots, but somebody else is, give them the ball. He didn't do that. He decided, I'm going to take these two shots. And I say two. I mean, one of them was at 45 seconds, and one of them was like 26 seconds. And so you got to live and die with LeBron. I mean, that's just the deal. Just no different than, you know, you got to live and die with Jokic or Jamal Murray. You know, you got to live and die with Klay Thompson or Steph.
By the way, you want to hear what Stephen A. had to say about this Game 2 situation? Him and J.J. Redick were not.
Oh, yeah. They had a little battle about it. Let me hear.
When we talk about must-win games in the playoffs, it's a 7-game series. This is not an 82-game season where you're conserving energy. You can't lose a game. You can't. It's not a must-win. You can't lose a game. Every game means so much. And so I'm confident that the Lakers can make this a series. They've got to win game two.
Hold on. Hold on. Stop it. I saw the Lakers.
The data would suggest you shouldn't go down
2-0. I don't care what the data suggests. By the way, I saw the Lakers in the 80s. I saw the Lakers lose by 40 in an NBA Finals game and come back and win the damn series. Don't tell me they can't lose. History has shown you can lose and still come back from an 0-2 deficit in the postseason. Doesn't happen often, but it's happened enough times, particularly when those first two losses were on the road. And usually if you're losing games on the road, but you come back and you protect your home turf, you got a decent shot of winning the series. If anybody can afford to lose game two, it's LeBron and the Lakers. But I wouldn't advise it, but could they overcome it? Yes, they could.
Well,
stop
Denver's
acting like
awesome.
It's impossible.
I'm not saying it's impossible, Stephen A.
You said you can't.
It's happened before.
You said it can't.
I'm glad you would advise the Lakers to not lose game two.
You're the one that said you can't lose. You can't lose as if it's over if they do.
I guess I look at sport a little bit differently than you, I guess.
I guess we do.
Here's what I would add to that, because I'm curious to see where you land on that.
Let me hear.
No, we just played it. Where do you land on that conversation?
Here's where I land. I'm with Stephen A. Look.
Why?
Here's why. Because if the Lakers lose game two, is the series automatically over?
No, but go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So now they come home, and hypothetically they win the next two games. Now it's 2-2, and now it's a best 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And then Denver goes home and wins. And the Lakers come home and win, and Denver has dominated and has won all their games at home. Well, it's a 1-game series, and you take your chances with LeBron and AD in a 1-game series, regardless of where the game is played. So I'm saying is this, George, believe it or not, normally I'm like the big panic of the two of us. Usually I'm the one that gets super hyper emotional about these kinds of things. I expect the Lakers to win game two, but if they don't, they'll come back and have to win game 3 and 4. And if they don't, then they're toast. If they lose game two.
Thanks. So if they lose games 3 and 4 after losing games 2, 1 and 2, they're toast?
No, if they lose either 3 or 4. So in other words, if the series goes beyond 4 games.
Yeah.
But they're down 3-1, they're toast. Yeah.
Okay, so let me say something to you.
4 games if they were down 3-1.
Here's what's happening here, okay?
Tell me what's happening.
So there's some recency bias, and there's also betting on the outlier here, which I think is not necessarily ideal in anything in life, okay? Have teams come back down 0-2? 100% it's happened, okay? As a matter of fact, it happened as recent as the first round of the playoffs when the Warriors came back down 0-2, correct?
Absolutely.
Against the Kings. Now, I like to look at the larger picture. When in doubt, zoom out. Okay, that's a phrase I like to use, okay? And it's basically about anything in life in general, okay? It could be about...
When in doubt, zoom out.
I like that. That's a good phrase.
Makes for a nice t-shirt.
Yeah.
When in doubt.
Yeah, you can't use that one.
Copy wrote it already.
I already submitted it to LegalZoom.
Okay,
but
all right.
When in doubt, zoom out. Because it means like you're so stuck in like what's happening in the immediacy of things... Look at the bigger picture, all right? Zoom out a little bit and look at where everything is and then really think about it. Now, this applies to sports too. So, in NBA history, Cappy, okay, do you know how many times a team has been down 0-2?
In a seven-game series?
Correct.
I think it's been, 32 times. That's right, 32.
447 times.
That's what I meant to say. 447 is what I was thinking.
Do you know how many of those 447 have actually come back to win the series?
Is that 32?
Close, 33.
Oh, not bad.
Do you know what percentage that is? 7.4% of teams have come back.
I could have done that very quickly. I could have done that real easily. I could have gotten that 7.4%.
Yeah.
I didn't know, but if you gave me a second, I would have been able to figure it out. Because, 10% is like 440.
So my point is, would you bet on the outlier? Like, I can't bet on the outlier. So J.J. Redick is right. Going down 0-2, it's not impossible because clearly teams have done it. But 93% almost of teams that go down 0-2 lose the series. That's like inarguable. The math is inarguable don't want to be down 0-2.
Of course, I don't want to be down 0-2. And I don't expect to be down 0-2. I'm just saying that being down 0-2, when you have the experience of this of LeBron and AD in particular, I'm not counting the Lakers out if they're down 0-2. If they find themselves down 3-1 and going back to Denver, I think they're in obviously huge trouble. Okay? But I believe that they will come back and they will play maybe not as well and maybe not score as many points as they did. Because remember, George, in the second half last night, the Lakers scored 72 points. So while we've talked about how ridiculous it is that the number one defensive team in the postseason would be giving up 72 in the first half, they scored 72 in the second half.
I'll tell you this. Right. I get it. But that also doesn't mean that, Denver's defense isn't going to shore up a little too. You know what I mean?
No, like, it doesn't mean that. But it doesn't mean that the Lakers will play as poorly as they did in the first half.
No, I agree. I actually think Game 2 will be more of a representative sample of what we could potentially see moving forward. Doesn't mean it's guaranteed to be the case, but I think that game will be a closer game throughout, potentially.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Lakers.
By the way, going out LeBron, of those 33 times that teams have come back, LeBron's done it 3 times.
Wow, how about that? You know what percentage that is of 33?
Yeah.
Do you?
What percentage 3 of 33 is?
Right. Do you know that?
It's 9%.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know math. Otherwise, I'd have to get a calculator.
It's 9%. Out. 3 of 33 is 9%.
So 3.3
of 33 would be 10%. But clearly, you can't have a third of a win coming back from 0-2.
Well, if you did that math that fast and you did that correctly, that's pretty impressive. I'm impressed by that, George.
I agree. I couldn't.
It is 9% people.
9%. I would need a calculator.
That is very impressive, George.
I actually did it on a calculator, even though he is right. 3.3 out of 33 would be 10. But
I thought it was going to be 1%. I thought it was going to be 1% myself. Yes.
I wasn't
so if you're going to have any faith, I guess, LeBron. But, the last time he did it was with the Cavs in 2018 against the Celtics, who was a very young Celtics team. So.
And, that was 5 years ago. And he was 33 years old at the time, LeBron.
33, correct. Also, more numerology.
Right.
Yes.
You know what 5 is of 38? You know what percentage that is? That's the number of percentage of years that he's increased since that time. Did that make any sense to anybody?
He's 13% older, yeah.
Right. That's what I was trying to say. 13% older.
Are we serious right now?
Yes, and by the way, Perk agrees with you. Yeah, that was kind of my point on my tease. Perk agrees with you.
Let's hear Perk. Let us hear what Perk had to say, because
well,
Perk gets
it. So we're not going to hear anything.
Oh, all right. Well, then let's get to what Perk said then.
All right, Lindsay, why don't you read it? It's very simple.
We got to go to break, Happy. How about we do it on the other side?
On the other side.
So wacky.
But coming up next, also, we'll get to Perk's tweet, which seems silly now because people can just go read it. But Devontae Adams, if you're a Raiders fan, trouble in the waters.
Uh-oh.
We'll get to some of that. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Oh, I love Lisa Loeb. She was on the show with us on the old morning show, the original morning show with me and Key and LZ. And I don't even remember why we had her on or how we got her on. But she was on for some reason. Oh, she was doing some sort of like sports something commercial that related to sports. And this song played. So we had her on and we found her on Twitter. So she came on the show and then she invited us to her show was it Redondo or Hermosa? It might have been Hermosa. But she was great. And she said that LZ sounded like a Muppet, which was hilarious. Sorry, Mama Granderson.
LZ sounded like a Muppet?
Yeah, she did.
That's funny. That's very funny.
But she was very... we still follow each other on Twitter. I don't know. I haven't talked to her ever since then, but Lisa Loeb, that's an old school 710 reference.
Should have hired her to play at Aria's birthday party at the house yesterday.
She probably misses you.
Look, I see what you did there. See what you did there.
Very cute.
By the way, just cute. A little update on what's going on in the Eastern Conference Final. All knotted up at 47, I believe, at the moment between Miami and Boston with 5:20 to go in the first half. Well, and I know everyone here is always, understandably so, concerned about Boston's prosperity. I say that jokingly, obviously.
Well, it was 47-44, and then Kevin Love hit a three-pointer for the Heat. I only know that because I'm 15 seconds behind you, George. So it was 47-44 at the time you told me it was 47-47.
Yeah. So, now Boston has taken a two-point lead.
Who do you think is a better matchup? Like, who do you think the Lakers would have a better chance against?
They'd probably have a better chance against the Heat because they're so, like, dilapidated in regards to just from an injury perspective. But, you know, I don't think either of them are going to be easy, you know, because they're just tough teams. Like, at this stage, you're tough, man. Like, there is no easy route at this stage.
Well,
matter who you're playing.
You've gotten down to the four teams that have made it this far. Are they the best four teams? Well, I mean, during the regular season, there was a time when Boston had the best record in the NBA, and they were atop the Eastern Conference. And I remember when the Lakers went to Boston earlier this year and were like, well, hey, listen, that would be a great win for them. They're playing against the number one team. So Boston's been kind of one of the best teams all year. But Miami, an 8 seed, and the Lakers, a 7 seed, taking on top caliber seeds here. I'm not sure these were the best teams, but they're the teams that have made it this far based on the circumstances that they've encountered. But, everybody's
Thank
tough.
You, Captain Obvious.
No, what I'm saying is like the Heat, for example, as George is talking about how dilapidated they are. Well, yeah, they've had a lot of injuries to deal with. but they're just all heart, all guts. What I saw last night from the Lakers in the second half was like a lot of effort that the first half they didn't have. You know, a lot of gut, a lot of effort in the second half. So, anyway.
LeBron always says the hardest thing in the world to do is win an NBA championship.
And Boston has taken, they've gone on an 8-0 run here. So they're up 55-47 with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. And so all the green people are waving their towels.
You said Perk agrees with me. And I'm curious. Tell me. He tweeted out.
Mm-hmm. He tweeted out, hold on, Lindsay has it on the run.
The Lakers should feel extremely confident going into game two on Thursday.
That's exactly how I feel. Lakers
did he not write carry on?
Carry on.
He didn't say carry the hell on?
I don't think he said either, but I'll look.
Okay. I feel the exact same way. The Lakers should have zero fear, should have total confidence. Hey, guys, we came out in the first half, and everybody knows we were sucking wind. And they were playing great, and Jokic had this 8 to 10 minutes that was, like, legendary. I mean, I heard some of these commentators after the game, like, that's the best 10 minutes of basketball I've ever seen in my life.
Wait, timeout.
No, Darren Revelle said that, didn't he?
Yes, that's why I put on the rundown. Serrano's most annoying person on the internet, Darren Revelle, had that tweet.
He said it was the greatest game he'd ever seen. Like, come on, what are we talking about?
I didn't see Darren Revelle. I'm just saying, like, other people were like, dude, that there was a span where he had all these rebounds and all these points and great assists, and he was amazing. And he was. I'm not taking anything away from him. But the Lakers got avalanched in that first half, and then they caught their breath, and they came out and they played great ball in the second half, and they got it to 3 points. If I'm the Lakers, I am extremely confident going into this next game.
Robel's tweet was, people will dismiss it because it's not an NBA Finals game, so the stakes weren't as high, but what you just watched was one of the greatest games ever played.
I mean, stop.
That's at the end of the game?
Yeah.
I was there, okay? And I didn't feel like it was... I thought it was a good game.
He's got to be a big Joker fan, right?
It was fun.
I mean, was he talking about one guy in particular?
That's why I said he's got to be a big Joker fan for him to make such a grandiose statement like that.
It was a fun game, but I've been very fortunate. I've been at some of the greatest games ever, okay? Like, I was there when Ray Allen hit a crazy shot, okay? That no one...
What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
Out of his tuchus, actually it wasn't out of his tuchus. The guy prepared like a maniac. But I was not there when Derek Fisher hit the shot, right? But, I mean, I watched it. That, to me, ranks higher than this. Come on. Like, it's a bit hyperbolic is what I would say. But,
I'm not saying it was one of the greatest games in the world.
Not you!
No, I know. But what I'm saying is that there were people chattering about Jokic.
Oh, were the Chatlins talking about it?
Chatlins, not really. Chatlins are more worried about their baseball team that's terrible, that spent all this money. They can't figure it out.
They have no interest in the Lakers?
No, I'm not saying no interest. But not as much. Not as passionate. You know,
I mean, they could watch a team that has championship banners and, get a little sad when they don't win, or, keep crying about teams that ain't going nowhere. Just saying.
Well, I mean, listen, for me, I want them to I want them to struggle and scuffle and suffer. And like, OK, you went out and you did what everybody always wants to do, which is try and buy a championship. And you find out that it's just not really about that. It's a lot more than just putting out, really good players and paying them a lot of money. There's a lot more to it.
Speaking of picking up good players and paying them a lot of money, Davante Adams apparently not all that thrilled with the Raiders at the moment. You see this story?
I have seen this story, and I got to be honest with you. I'm not really all that surprised. I mean,
now, which part are you not surprised about?
Well, if you're Davante Adams, you left Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, one of the great organizations in the NFL, and you went to the Raiders, and you went there because your best friend was a quarterback, and about 11 or 12 games into the season, the writing was on the wall, my best friend ain't going to be the quarterback much longer. And then you're like, well, what are they doing at quarterback? And then you're like, well, what about our coach? So if I'm Davante Adams, I'm not sure I really want to play for the Raiders. I did when Derek Carr was a quarterback, but I'm not sure I really do, so maybe I should try and talk my way out of here. What do you think?
Well, if you read the story, which I did after the fact, because I wanted to find the genesis of this conversation, it was a story that was done, a profile was done with him on The Ringer, which is Bill Simmons' site.
Mm-hmm.
And in that story, he also talks about how he kind of felt like he needed to prove to himself he could do it without Aaron too, right? Like that was a part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one blurb is what really went viral, which mm-hmm. is the thing about not seeing eye to eye with the organization at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, if I'm Devontae Adams, you know, being a Raider sounded fun when it was me and Derek Carr together. It doesn't sound so fun now.
Yeah, I hear you. When it's you and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. And when
and
it's
he
me,
doesn't seem to see eye to eye with the coach, who also didn't like his guy very much either, it seems right. like, right?
Well, that's just it. It's like, this was my guy. This is why I came here. And now, coach, you've pushed him out the door. So I kind of feel like Devontae Adams doesn't really want to be a Raider. And by saying the things that he's saying, might try and talk his way out of Vegas. What do you think? You think he's trying to get out of it?
Maybe. I don't know yet. I'd have to see more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because apparently he posted on Instagram today a picture of him and the GM.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're BFFs?
So maybe him and the GM are good. Maybe he's just like, yo, this coach, bro, can we do something about him?
Mm-hmm. Yo, this quarterback, bro, can we do something about it? Listen, I like Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo's a winner. If Jimmy Garoppolo can stay healthy, but he's not right. a great passer.
Right. So and they didn't draft a quarterback, did they?
They wind up drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, they did.
Second
they did.
Round?
Yeah.
Good draft. Which kid did they draft?
Would they get the
kid out of Tennessee, George? Boy, I don't know.
Oh, Hendon Hooker?
Yeah, did they get him?
Let me look.
All right. Well, let's. The point of information here, Lindsay's going to find this in a matter of seconds.
No, Hendon Hooker went to the Lions. Your okay. Lions.
My Detroit Lions.
They got...
Who'd they get, Linz? Let's see. Who was their draft class?
I looked at the wrong thing. Oh, my gosh. Hang on.
Here we go. I'm looking at it right here.
I got it right here.
You got it?
Raiders, yeah, I do. I have it.
They got the kid from Texas Tech in the first round, the tight end that everyone loves.
Quarterback out of Purdue. Fourth rounder.
Oh.
I guess not. The answer is no.
Oh, yeah. Aiden O'Connell. I'm not familiar with his work. So.
You of all people, are not familiar with Aiden O'Connell, the quarterback from Purdue's work?
Nope.
You saw Brock Purdy when he was at Iowa State, and right. you haven't seen Aiden O'Connell when he was at Purdue?
Yeah. I would also say that, you know, Brock Purdy and the kid from the Jets, Breece Hall, were putting up insane numbers when they were together. So, yes, I did watch them. I had no interest in watching Purdue football this year.
Aiden O'Connell last year for Purdue set a Big 12 record. Check that Big 10 record. I'm going to make up all these stats right now. I'm just about to make up a ton of stats and tell you how great this kid is.
If he's the number 3 quarterback, who's the backup?
Who is the backup for the Raiders? I'll tell you that in a second. I will find that for you.
We really
moment.
Need to read up on the Raiders because apparently Brian Hoyer.
What are you
Hoyer,
talking about? It's May right now. We don't have to read up on the Raiders
right.
yet.
You'll have to excuse me for not having studied the Raiders depth chart over the last couple of weeks.
Well, now I know. They signed, guess who? Brian Hoyer, Cleveland Zone, Cleveland alert.
I know. It's everybody says to me, hey, have you seen this show? Have you seen Ted Lasso? Are you caught up on Ted Lasso? No, I'm caught up on the Lakers. Yeah. I'm not caught up on Ted Lasso.
And now you're caught up on the Raiders backup quarterback.
Man. How about that?
Yeah, and they also have the kid who went to Cal
What's
on their
his
roster.
Name? What's that
Garbers.
Guy's name? Not Aaron Rodgers?
No, Garbers.
Not Jared Goff?
Not Jared Goff, no.
Okay, you said the guy from Cal.
Yeah, the kid Garbers who played for them.
Mm, missed him too.
Yeah.
I must have been watching a bunch of Purdue football that day.
You must have been.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah. All right, coming up next.
Tell me.
Big deal or no deal?
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up. Stick around. You can't miss it. It's not award-winning like Radio Tinder, but it's close. Next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks, Christopher. All right, Lindsay, you take it away.
Thanks, Adal. Quick break in the action here in the Heat-Celtics game, and I didn't catch the score before they went to break.
66-57 halftime, Boston leading.
I knew you'd know that. How's Jimmy playoffs doing? Playoff Jimmy.
He's doing fine, I think. I don't know. I didn't see how many points he has, but I can check for you if you'd like.
I just figured you'd know because I know that you're watching.
He's got 15. Week.
Quite a bit of intent. Kevin Love,
15 for him, 9 for Bam. Kevin Love, only 1 of 1. Three points.
Hey, at least he's efficient, right?
Yep. I need right. Miami. Lowry's playing well. 13 points.
Need Miami here, George. Need Miami to win.
Yeah, because you want to go to Miami.
I want to go to Miami. I want to take the show on the road.
Yeah. Oh, we're going.
Yeah. Robert Williams has been incredible in this game. Like, he is 5 of 5. He has just been getting everything at the rim. And Tatum has been great. Their guys have been great. So, we'll see.
Well, speaking of great, Pat McAfee is going to be our new co-worker at the Four Letter Network. He's leaving FanDuel for ESPN. In doing so, he's leaving behind a 4-year, $120 million contract, according to the report. The former NFL punter-turned-media personality was in the second year of his deal with FanDuel for the Pat McAfee Show. The precise value of the deal with ESPN isn't known, but Andrew Marchand of the New York Post reports that it exceeds 8 figures annually. That's a lot of money. And McAfee is taking his crew, which includes former NFL linebacker A.J. Hawk, to ESPN with him. So I feel like this is kind of a big deal. But I want to know, where do you guys like come out on popular sports talker Pat McAfee?
I'm not that familiar with his work, so I'm not trying to dodge the question. I don't really listen. I've seen the snippets online, but I've never really actually listened to the show or watched it on YouTube. So I don't know. But cool for him, and he's very popular, so I guess good for us.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, I think when we work, you know, at 710, we find ourselves listening to a lot of 710 content. You know, I don't really get to hear much of Pat, but I can only tell you guys this. Like, my son's 23 years old, and he loves him. And I don't know Pat on the air. I know Pat off the air. You know, anytime you take a kid from Pittsburgh, and he's a punter from West Virginia, and he's an all-pro punter in the league, and he's willing to give up his pro career because he thinks he can do more in media, that's gutsy. And I don't know what he does that's so unique and so different that has all these young kids that love his show. But hey, man, he has built by himself.
I think we should have you wear. I think maybe you should wear a tank top every day.
Not only should I wear a tank top, I have to start bringing back my Pittsburghese. I need to start talking like this and say, "Hey, Yins are going to go down over there and get an iron light."
Don't do that. I don't like Pittsburgh.
You know, Yins don't like the Pittsburgh.
No, us Clevelanders don't like Pittsburgh. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, McAfee is such a Yinzer. I love it. But I will give him his credit, man. Seriously, like, you know, if you're Dan Patrick and you leave ESPN and you find yourself with a big radio show with lots of affiliates and, you know, a deal with a TV network and so on, but you've been a TV personality for 30 years, people know you. I mean, McAfee has done this in a way that no one else really has.
He's kind
of give
like
him a ton
the,
of credit.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Joe Rogan almost of like sports talkers, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good comparison. I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, he's great on WWE, which is how I became more familiar with him, just from like him being like a crazy fan and then that parlay.
Yeah,
that
I like him on Game Day. I've seen him there. That's honestly the most extensive part I've seen him on, like other than the clips online. But to Cap's point, like, he's super popular, so cool.
And
awesome.
They're going to put him on the show.
And they're going to put him on, like, from what I read, ESPN.
After First Take. They'll put on a part of his show for After First Take.
I want to say ESPN. I don't know if it was Plus. Or
it's going to be on ESPN TV and ESPN Plus and ESPN YouTube all at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, and, EU, yeah.
And I would bet.
I mean, I'm sorry, E1. That's what I meant. So.
I would bet that McAfee probably negotiated it in a way, and ESPN probably said to him, "Hey, look, dude, for this period of time where you're on ESPN television, you got to kind of just clean it up a little bit. We're Disney. There's nothing we can do about that." Now,
which that would be interesting.
Now, you go out onto our YouTube channel, and yes, that's our YouTube channel, but bro, do your thing.
No, it's going to be all streaming at the same time. He said simultaneously. So
right, but I wonder if like
then,
he's
then,
got a
then the entire
show.
3 hours will right. not be on will not be on ESPN television. Right.
So that, let's say they take an hour on ESPN and then they put 2 hours out there on YouTube. You know, you probably got to clean it up a little bit for radio and for TV,
I mean,
and
I
then
don't know.
Go do your thing on YouTube.
Definitely for E1, you got to clean it up.
I don't know. Maybe
right,
he'll
next?
Make everybody loosen up. Maybe we can loosen up.
We're going to have him on the show. We'll have him on as a guest, Cappy. We'll see a lot more Aaron Rodgers, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So earlier we were talking about AI being potentially like super scary and possibly taking over the world someday. Well, how AI will be utilized down the road is something that is on a lot of people's minds, including America's dad, Tom Hanks. He recently said in a podcast interview, quote, "What is a bona fide possibility right now? If I wanted to, I could get together and pitch a series of 7 movies that would all star me in them, which I would be 32 years old from now until Kingdom Come. Anybody can recreate themselves at any age they are by way of AI or deepfake. I could be hit by a bus tomorrow and that's it, but my performances can go on and on and on." He has a point and kind of creepy. So is what Tom Hanks said here a big deal or no deal, Cappy?
Doesn't really do much for me. Doesn't move my needle, if you know what I'm saying to you. The idea of AI having Tom Hanks be 25 or 30 years younger than he is and, you know, just keep making movies with old, well, young Tom Hanks. Nah,
not just him,
on,
everybody,
man.
Though.
Nah, I don't like it.
This.
I mean, what are you talking about? We already saw this at Coachella many, 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 many years ago with Tupac.
2012.
Yeah, that was like a hologram, right?
Yes.
Well, what do you think that is, though?
I don't know. Is it a hologram? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but it was him performing.
I mean, we were talking about Apple earlier and how like they're literally going to give you a bunch of prompts or a script to read, and then they're going to use all those words and soundings and sound effects of your voice and then make that into like basically Siri on your phone. So it's going to be talking back to you in your own voice. It's kind of crazy. And it also... You know, we talked about, like, people when they die and, like, you know, seeing videos and AIs of them in the future. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of cool. Like, kids can talk to their grandparents after they're dead through AI. I don't know. I feel like that could be cool. No?
Yeah, kind of like, well, you're too old, you're too young for this, rather. But it's kind of like, you know, remember the old Superman movies, Cappy, with Christopher Reeve?
Yeah, the really old ones, yeah.
Yeah, when he'd go to like the, you know, wherever the North Pole or wherever the hell his place was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, and then, you know, he'd put in those little crystals and then like his dad would pop up or something, you know, kind of like that.
Yes. Yeah. Although I will tell you guys, this may sound a little weird. Tell me if this sounds weird to you guys. You know, my cousin who died as a young guy, 40 years old, he had a YouTube channel and it's still there. And on some kind of weird occasion, I might actually go in there and go, you know what? I'm going to go watch him on YouTube a little bit. So I don't need to, like, AI him or hologram him.
You don't need to, but you could. You know, really quick, funny story here. My dad, we got him for his birthday this thing called Storyworth, where it gives him a bunch of prompts, he answers the questions, and then it puts it all into a book after, like, 6 months or something. I told him he should start reading them and, like, videotape himself, like, answering these prompts. Like, what's the first vacation you ever remember going on when you were younger? And it would be my dad would, like, video himself telling this story. And I feel like that would be something really cool for, like, let's say someday I had a child and, like, you know, he's not here anymore, unfortunately. Then my dad could, like, read the stories to his grandkids.
So I haven't done that, but my wife and I created an email for Aria. I don't think we did this with Mateo, though. We created it for Aria. He gets the short end of the stick as the second one. And he also may not care to do this. Aria seems already more into this kind of stuff anyway because she loves to read. But we created an email account for her, and we would send her emails as she was growing up.
Oh, that's adorable.
Hey, this is what happened today to you. This was cool for X, Y, and Z reasons. This is what's happening, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
That's kind of cool.
For the first several years of her life, there's that, where she's not going to remember. You know what I mean?
It's like a digital scrapbook.
She can go into her Gmail when she's 30 years old and go back 35 million pages, and she'll be able to find the first emails that she ever received on those accounts when she wasn't even reading.
Right.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I still listen to voicemails from my grandma, and she's been gone for like 5 years, so... I don't know, I feel like...
Do you erase people out of your phone when they pass away?
No.
I don't.
No,
never.
I don't either.
Never. Never.
No.
In fact, I keep voicemails from people who are like, aw, like
that's
that person
said,
died.
Yeah,
that's what Lindsay just said.
Literally.
No, I know, but I'm not talking about family members. I'm talking about other people. You know what I mean? But let me ask you guys this quick question. Do you guys delete texts from your phone?
No.
No, only the spam ones. If a store texts me something.
Yep. Can I tell you guys, I don't ever delete any text.
I don't either.
And it's a damn good thing I don't, because I'm seriously in the middle of something in my real life, and I needed texts from 2017. All I had to do was put in the phrases in my phone and there are the texts from 2017. If I deleted those texts, I wouldn't have them. They're on my phone today. Texts from 6 years ago.
Yeah, always store the backup in the iCloud.
It's called receipts, Cappy, and I get it. So I was notorious for dumping all exes texts. I was whatever. But I had an ex a few years ago. He was psycho. Psycho to the point that I needed that for low-key a restraining order. So yeah, same stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm helping my friend in through his divorce based on text messages sent to me 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, you save those?" And I was like, "Yeah, I just don't delete them."
Receipts, people. Receipts.
Yeah, I'll make an admission. This is a little bit weird. I have this voicemail from Marty Schottenheimer on my phone. He called me about something, and and he died.
What a strange pull.
I know, it was a weird pull, isn't it? And I've got a few others that are kind of weird like that. That are in my phone. They're
I delete voicemails, though. I do delete voicemails.
I have a few,
Not
no,
texts.
That's not weird, though, Cappy, because I feel like I have a few voicemails that were, prominent or important to me. Mm-hmm. Also, my dad, when he was an engineer for the Browns and the Cavs, he would sometimes have people record voicemail or answering machine messages that we would play. So when people would call our house, they would be like he had Hulk Hogan do one. He's like, "Hey, this is Hulk Hogan, brother.
Hey, brother.
Steven, Kane aren't home right now, so leave a message." And he still has all of those, and they're hilarious to go back and listen to.
That is funny.
So yeah.
All right, there you go.
Oh, I do have some old voicemails. You want to hear one?
Yeah, let me hear what you got.
This was, you weren't here yet. Dan Zampillo, one of our old program directors. Hold on, let's hear what this one says. Let's see if it.
George, it's Zampillo. Give me a ring when you get this. Thanks, bye.
Oh, was just that?
That's it, huh?
There you go. Yeah.
Hmm.
I know that one was from April 2nd, 2019.
All right, what's the oldest voicemail you have on your phone?
I can go back. 2018.
This is going to sound really bad. When I tell you what I have on my phone, this is going to sound really bad. You ready for this?
Yeah.
February 7th, 2012, Bill Walton.
That's a cool one, though.
That is a cool
one. That is a cool one.
By the way, it's 1 minute and 2 seconds.
I have one from my grandma from 20.
Oh, I bet. He can't do anything under that.
Play it, Cappy. Right. Play it.
Let me hear what he says.
Just hit play, I think.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
You got to hit the speaker, too, though.
Hey, Scotty, Shep here.
No, that's not it. That's the wrong one.
Yeah, that's,
tried to play
that's not
Walton
him.
One. Nope, here we go. Let's hear Bill Walton. Hold on.
Your friend Bill Walton calling. I'm just calling to say I sadly saw the...
All right, well, there you go. I just cut him right off.
Why'd you cut it off?
I mean, it's privacy. Oh, okay. We get it, Cappy. Okay. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he'd be telling some crazy long story.
Wait, who had the oldest voicemail?
Mine, this one is right here. Bill Walton, February 7th, 2012. What do you got?
Wow. Yeah, 2017.
Mine's 2015, yeah. 2017. Win cap.
You win cap by a long shot.
And I feel cool.
Mine is from that ex, that weird ex, because I'm telling you, receipts. How to save them.
I got a John Ireland voicemail here from 2020. I won't play that, though, because I don't know what it says. No.
Yeah, no.
No. We already give him enough grief, man. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to start a new leaf. Only positivity for Mason and Ireland from here on.
George, listen to this one. You ready?
How long is that going to last?
Yeah.
Did you say that on the air?
Yeah, I did. I usually say it on your ear, but it just came out.
I am going... Only positivity for Mason and Ireland from here on out, with the occasional ribbing. How about
that? There you go. It's perate. Let's be real.
But I would say, say this.
On. Save it for the Mandy's.
Here's my new leaf for Mason and Ireland. Only we can make fun of them.
Okay, that
makes
more sense.
Because they're our Mason and Ireland. You guys are not allowed to do anything but love them. And if you don't love them, you can go to hell, too.
Go to hell is right.
Because I love Lindsay's, okay, I can't even do the voice, girl. You got to do it.
They're wacky radio stunts.
Well, but we can do that. Yeah. But the outsiders, no, you're not allowed. How about that?
You know, when I was on Ask Slee today for Ask
Slee. I heard about that. How about this? Can we break and you can tell us that on the other side?
Yes.
And I have found some other ridiculous emails or voicemails.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've got these.
And also, there was other football stuff we didn't get to about the Rams and the Chargers. We just did the Raiders. So let's do that. Dealer's Choice, Lindsay's thing.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is a banger. I forgot about this song. Do you remember this song,
Not
Lindsay?
One bit. To me, this is new music.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely. That's why I went straight to Lindsay.
Brand new.
Lindsay, yes? No?
This is my jam right here.
Oh, okay. Laura?
Yep.
I remember seeing this on TRL. Like, this was, like, at the top of TRL charts for, like, a minute.
Hmm.
I mean, it was there, and it is a jam, but...
I'll give him credit, man. Like, that's a lot of, you know, not a lot of guys or girls jump from those kiddie bands and at least have any semblance of success after the fact.
That's true.
You know? Video, they were at the carnival dancing around. Oh, it was great. Great video. He could still dance, too, all these years later.
There you go. Good for him. All right. So, Lindsay, you had a story before we get to the, I want to get to the sports thing, the Rams conversation and the Chargers conversation before we get out of here, since we didn't have time to finish it when we were talking about Devontae Adams and the Raiders. But what did you have? What was your thing?
I don't even remember what I was going to say. That was a Cappy move.
You pulled a Cappy right there.
We were having really interesting girl talk during the break, so I apologize. I'll take the L for that.
Well, Rebecca came in and we were talking about our Mandy's dresses.
Yeah, we are. See? Girl talk.
Sorry.
See, I'm still fixated on all my voicemails. I don't know why I carry around so many voicemails. Here's one, George. Remember our old friend Hank Goldberg from ESPN, Hammer and Hank?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He died and I kept his voicemail. And here's one that's one of my all-time favorite voicemails, Erin Andrews. This is where she rips me a new one.
No, definitely don't play that one.
Erin Andrews just calls me and leaves me this nasty voicemail, rips me a new one.
Yeah, don't play that
freaking one. Freaking awesome.
Please don't.
Got a lot from my ex-wife in here. I don't know what I'm holding on to these for.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. That doesn't sound healthy.
No.
But in the interim.
Yeah.
Lindsay, I'm disappointed. Whatever it was you said was good.
Sounded like it was really going to be
Cappy,
fun, Lindsay.
Try and jog my memory here.
It was about Ask Slee.
Oh, Ask Slee.
Oh, yes.
Right.
How'd that go? Good job, Laura.
Thank you. One of us here has it together. It went well. I mean, it's Ask Slee. It's not an award-winning segment by any means. So,
wow.
I thought
that some of the questions were a little... You know, they could have stepped their game up, but hey, whatever.
Okay.
You're saying the audience did not provide good questions.
Yeah, it's like the same. I told them it's like the same 10 people. And Travis said, well, now I think we actually have 12 people submitting questions this year.
No,
so.
But I get it. Because when I did, I don't know, whenever I did it, I feel like, you know, I thought it was cool. Like, they get to know you. They want to get to know you.
So, they asked me good questions, I thought.
It wasn't bad.
But now I also talk a lot, so that means there wasn't as many questions. So,
well, the thing I was going to say was that when we were coming back from, like, Morales was promoting it since the open of the show. Like, props to Morales because, you know, Morales like loves him some Lindsay baseball, as he should, because, you know, I'm good for Travis and Slee, right? So he kept using my wacky radio stunt of the year voice, whatever thing. And, like, they never even mentioned it once.
Well, they don't get it because they don't listen to the show.
Yeah. Right. And so I figured that maybe they would ask me about it. Like, what's that all about? But nope, they didn't. They just went right on with all their shows. Did their little what's my in and out order and Travis.
I was disappointed by that. Hold up.
Well, I mean, I just said I don't have
Honestly, you know, I haven't been to In-N-Out since I lived in Pasadena.
Pero
that's how long
store,
it's been.
Then, right?
Been
like, you years. Have your order. You knew what
no,
you
No, not really. Just like a double-double is fine
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, but you know, like, hey, I'm going to get a double-double, whatever.
Animal style.
Well, I mean, Cappy, you want it all. We know.
The thing is, when I first moved here, I was a vegetarian, so I didn't even eat meat, burgers, whatever. So I had no reason to go to In-N-Out. I had fries and a milkshake there, but I was just like, yeah, you know, it's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, the fries are meh.
When you said that you were good for Travis and Sliwa, what do you mean by that?
Good for the ratings, good for the show.
So you're,
by the
you're
way, Lindsay, you were just asking what Kevin Love's doing. Just hit another three to get Miami within three with 9 minutes to go in the third.
I'm rooting for Kevin Love. Rooting him to get another ring.
So Cappy, we're getting closer.
I'm just.
I know you
Miami.
Want to go to Miami against the Lakers in the finals. So
that's right. And let's see, what's the NBA finals are already set, like, date
June 1st.
June 1st. What day of the week is that? You got that? Anybody know?
Thursday.
A Thursday. Oh, great. Mm-hmm. We'll go to Miami on a Wednesday. We'll do the show on Thursday. We'll do the show on Friday. We'll
wait, but Saturday. The Lakers and Heat have to win this series first still.
And it just occurred to me. You ready for this? If the Lakers and Heat do win, the Lakers would host games 1 and 2.
No, they actually wouldn't. They wouldn't because they lost one
it's
more game.
It's by regular
than Miami
season
did.
Record.
Yep. Oh, really? Yep. Not by the seeding, huh?
Yep, and they lost one more game than them.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's the regular season record.
Because they were an 8 seed.
correct.
That's too bad.
That's something an NBA outsider would not know, Cappy.
That's right. How about that?
Cappy, real quick, so because I teased it and I don't want to not have it ready. The Rams and the Chargers, real quick. Chargers reportedly won't use Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson as the quote-unquote blueprint for a Justin Herbert deal. As much as you are the proud, caring member of the Charger Hater Club,
that's right.
How do you interpret that?
I interpret it the way I interpret everything with the Chargers. They're too damn cheap. Listen, the Chargers ownership was sitting there watching this Jalen Hurts deal go down, and then they watch this Lamar Jackson deal go down, and they're like, oh no. Oh no.
We got to pay him huge bucks.
We got to pay Justin Herbert more than they just paid Lamar Jackson, who's been an MVP. We got to pay Justin Herbert more than Jalen Hurts, who just led his team to the Super Bowl. And we're going to have to pay our quarterback more. And then you know what that's going to do to us? That's going to hamstring us everywhere else. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That and the Bengals are going through the same thing. They've been notoriously cheap as well. By the way, the Heat have tied the game. A Kevin Love outlet pass. One of those crazy long passes.
So, you know what's funny about you saying that? The Bengals are traditionally considered to be a cheap team. I've always thought the same thing, you know. And one of my buddies was a coach on the staff there in Cincinnati. And he told me that at Christmas time, the entire coaching staff received $10,000 bonuses, cash, $10,000 bonuses. And I said, well, geez, man, you've worked for like 5 different teams in the NFL. Does everybody do that? And he goes, it's the only place I've ever worked where they gave us a Christmas bonus of cash.
That's cool.
How about that? I would have never have known that, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Notoriously cheap, right? And then the Rams... There's a lot of chatter because they have the 9th toughest schedule in the league, which is crazy because they were not great last year, but that's just how it worked out based on who they're playing this year in the divisions. But, you know, I'm still bullish on them. I think they're going to finish at above 500 this year.
They do have, outside of the teams that they play in the NFC West, they've got teams from the NFC North. They've got, I'm looking at Dallas, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cleveland,
it's Baltimore. Not an easy schedule. Not an easy schedule. So we can tackle that more once the basketball season's over. We'll dive more into football.
Right, George,
for sure.
I'm too locked into basketball right now, Drew. I'm not even into baseball right now.
All right, we got to go, bro. We got LAFC. Shut up. Great job, Cappy. Great job, Lindsay and Laura. LAFC is next.